systems analyst. Hey, I can do that. Good system, bad system.
I think you need to know something about computers. Hold everything. Look at this. Greater Boston Cat Show. Grand prize, $500.
A cat show? I can't see you in a cat show.
Don't you think I'm pretty?
Of course.
Then get an application. This is our chance for a quick score.
Ladies, gentlemen, Nana, welcome to episode number 19 of Sabrina's Witch Trials. This is, of course, the show where each episode I grab a friend and we venture back into the mid-1990s to rewatch, review, and reminisce all about everyone's favorite Friday Night Spellfest, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I'm Alex Arujo, and this episode, folks, is brought to you by Cat Puns. For the perfect way to irritate a friend or former friend, no matter what the meowmint calls for, do it with a cat pun, and you will make your former friends say, "Bitch, please." I'm sure you've all turned off the podcast by now, but if you haven't, welcome to episode number 19, folks. It's been a while since the last one, just a bunch of crazy stuff going on, but I mean, when there's this many cats assembled on one episode of television, we have to get back to talking about it. So here we are. And along with me on this episode of The Witch Trials, I have someone who not only is a frequent guest and one of everyone's favorite guests, but who also showed way more interest in this episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch than anyone has any right to actually show. She is the media maven over at chrisconquers.com. Your friend and mine, mostly yours. She doesn't like me very much. Chris Adujo is here. Chris, how you doing?
Good.
Good to have you back on The Witch Trials. It's been a while.
It's been so long.
Literally since the last trial. But you were really interested in this episode, episode number 19, Cat Showdown.
Yeah.
What piqued your fancy feast about it?
Cats.
Cats. You do love cats. I actually love cats, too. I often tell you about all the cats I pet just walking around the neighborhood. Yeah. They're very friendly cats. Like, having a cat for the last 13, 14 years has really ingratiated me into the cat community. That's a good sentence.
I don't think it works that way. Sure. I'm pretty sure it's an individual thing.
As I walk by, cats wave out the window. Say, oh, it's that Alex
they
character.
They gossip to each other. Oh, that's Kitty's owner.
Oh, he's got very nice hair.
I hear he spends way too long on it.
Oh, he's got no ass at all.
Kitty's always hiding when the blow dryer is going.
So you love cats.
Yes.
Do you also love cat shows? Because we're going to be talking about one of those.
I don't think I've ever watched a cat show. Really.
No, like
everyone, I watched dog shows.
Yeah, like the Purina one. Yeah. Every New Year's.
But that's not only because it's like it's Thanksgiving on and cute dogs.
It is the perfect way to follow.
I also love dogs. I just don't have a dog because we don't really have the space for it.
I mean, we've had everything like besides dogs, though.
That's true.
Cats, birds.
It's the next step.
Yeah, and then some sort of
cheetah.
Horse. Yeah, that's right. Cheetah. I how did I forget Cheetah?
We went to a baseball game on Friday, and they were basically outside the stadium. They do this announcement where they run through all the things that you can and can't bring in. Mm-hmm. And you can bring in
service pets,
service animals. It didn't specify dogs. So I was like, well, you know, service cheetah, service panther, I think is what I said. But I'd rather
panther.
Have a service cheetah because I think
what service would
more
it perform?
Colorful. Entertainment, like I said.
I'm incapable of mauling people on my own, so I brought this cheetah to maul the people that I can't maul.
Badassery, is that a...
No, it's really not.
No.
The AMA does not recognize badassery as a condition requiring a service
animal. I
mean,
it should. I mean, if you have incredibly low self-esteem, nothing helps like a badass cheetah.
I should get a cheetah. Okay.
Right?
Chris, let's walk away from this animal conversation and into a totally different animal conversation. Of course, as I said, episode number 19, Cat Showdown, first aired March 21st, 1997. Nearly 20 years ago. More than 20 years ago, in fact, by the time this is out. 15.3 million viewers, a 9.6 rating, a 17 share, and the 27th most viewed piece of television on broadcast TV that given week. Impressive number, actually. Chris, you have to give us, as all Sabrina's Witch Trials guests have to do, you have to give us a description of this episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch in a certain number of words.
How many?
In honor of cats, let's say 12. I'm sure nine. It doesn't honor them in any specific way, but...
I was thinking nine for nine lives.
No. I had decided... Well, that makes actually dramatically more sense.
Right? That's what I thought you were going for.
But in reality, I had already decided on 12.
Okay.
And then was just like, let me talk about cats for a minute.
All right.
So 12 words to describe this episode of Sabrina Teenage Witch, Chris.
Get ready to pause the audio.
No editing here.
No. Okay. I'm just going to go for it. All right. Salem and Sabrina enter a cat show to win some spending cash.
That is 12. I don't believe cat show is one word, so I think you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yay.
And a accurate description as always. Nicely done, Chris.
Thank you.
We open in Westbridge. School. Westbridge High School. Where Sabrina is frantically dialing a payphone, because it's 1997, to call home, where we see Hilda deciding whether or not to answer the phone before eventually relenting and picking up. Sabrina's glad she answered, as she left her history book on the counter and asks if Hilda can send it to her. Hilda asks if she's alone before zapping the book, while at the same time accidentally sneezing and giving us an oops. Sabrina asks what went wrong, and when Hilda explains about the sneeze, she asks where her book is, in turn hearing that Hilda is sure it'll turn up. Just then, we get a quick cutaway to Egypt. Yes, that Egypt, where her book lands outside of some pyramid-looking things, probably pyramids, to the sounds of generic Egyptian music, and from there we go to the open.
Oops. What happened?
I sneezed.
So where's my book?
I don't know, but I'm sure it will turn up somewhere.
Chris.
Yes.
This cold open, perhaps one of the colder cold opens we've seen in a long time.
Oh, it's frigid.
Has nothing to do with the overall episode.
Yep. Nope.
What did you think here? What pops to mind?
I was very neutral on it until right before we started, and then I was thinking about it, and I was just like, it doesn't make any sense that she can't zap her own book to her.
Nope.
When she can do all these other things. She can. In the last episode, she turned herself into someone else, but she can't zap herself a book or zap herself home to get the book. No.
Didn't make sense. Did you like her?
And how is there not a sneeze guard for spells?
Here's the thing that bothered me about the sneezing. When it happens, you think that's going to be like Hilda's story throughout the episode where she sneezes while doing spells.
Oh, yeah.
And like it makes things go astray.
Yeah.
But it's never brought up again. She never sneezes again.
Doesn't it happen on a later episode when Sabrina has a cold?
No, eventually, possibly, but eventually Hilda gets punitis.
Oh,
where she makes puns and then the literal things happen. And that's why we get to see Davy Jones.
Someone had like nasal drip. I don't know. Why do I remember something?
Sabrina had like a thing where she had to get like her finger.
Oh, that. Drained. The drain.
Yeah. Yes. But it's weird because like Hilda does it once and then she never does it again. And it's never talked about ever again during this episode. And clearly Sabrina got yelled at by her history teacher because didn't have her book with her. She probably also got yelled at by her history teacher because of the weird, like, woven powder blue jacket she's wearing in the scene.
She loves that damn thing.
It's weird because it doesn't
It looks like Libby's jacket.
Exactly. But
did they just take Libby's jacket?
I don't know, because Libby's is like pleather or leather. Like, this looks like Sabrina raided Libby's, like, leftover closet. Like, that's where I put the things that I liked but then found a better version of, so I don't wear that version anymore.
I don't know.
Very weird.
And Libby's not in this episode, so.
She's not. Although Zoe is. At lunch.
No one knows and no one cares about.
Very true. Apparently she was in an earlier episode, though.
Yeah, no one cares.
At lunch, Sabrina complains to Harvey about having to read 1984 as Orwell got so much wrong. Why don't you read that today, Sabrina, and tell us what you think. But they're quickly interrupted by Zoe, who is selling tickets for the class trip to Funland.
The sophomore class trip.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sabrina and Harvey agree to buy some.
Why do sophomores get a trip?
I don't know. They probably all get trips, but this is just a sophomore trip.
I'm sure you get like one big trip a year for Evergrade, but like that seems excessive.
I don't know.
You need to stay in school, kids.
I don't think I went on a single field trip throughout high school.
Oh, we did.
Well, because you went to a high school in Manhattan.
So?
Like, I went to a high school in a part of Queens. So, like, there were field trips. I didn't go on any specifically, but it's not like we could just, like, take a train and be there. You know, we had to, like, get buses. Anyway, it's pointless. I didn't go on any goddamn trips, and I'm real mad about it. Okay. Anyway, they agree to buy some, but they reconsider when they hear that the tickets cost $40, a king's ransom to any teen in the 90s. And while Zoe says that she does have that kind of money, what a bitch, they're broke.
How much?
$40.
Whoa.
What was that kind of money?
I do. The deadline's the end of next week, so let me know.
I can tell her right now I'll never be able to dig up that much cash.
Me neither.
Sabrina explains to Harvey that she can't go ask her aunts for a loan as they're on a, quote, teach her the value of money kick, in part because she went on a blowing my allowance on bullshit kick. But it might not be a quote.
Stupid shit.
But it's close enough.
Needless things. Some go approximation.
End quote. At the Spellman house, we see Salem ordering stuff off the phone because it's the 90s. Before
a la Simon from Seventh Heaven.
That's true. Where he ordered Happy those snow boots or rain boots. Something
Why
like
are
that.
All the pets in the 90s getting credit cards?
It's because they're awesome. Anyway, Salem quickly gets disconnected as his credit card is now maxed out. He notes to Sabrina that his credit card was just yanked, adding that he was pre-approved for a card from the, quote, Bank of Newark. And if there was ever a bank that was going to give a cat a credit card, it would be in Newark,
New
Jersey.
That's the one.
Sabrina feels for him, in part because she was going to ask him for a loan. But Salem just notes he was going to hit her up for the same. And the two laugh before quickly realizing that, horror among horrors, hard words to say, they're going to have to get jobs. Downstairs.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. Downstairs, Zelda answers the door and discovers that it's her admirer from a previous episode, Dirk, the mailman. Delivering a letter he, quote, accidentally found at the bottom of his bag for her. Bullshit, we've all done that move, Dirk.
I feel like that's leaving something at your significant other's house so you can come back.
Yeah, whoops.
Yep. Oh.
I left this big pack of condoms here. Best to pick it up. Anywho, she thanks him for the important correspondence, that being a letter from the Bank of Newark, before Dirk notes that he saw a FedEx guy at the house the other day, adding that he doesn't trust them as it's unnatural for mail to move that quickly. I hear they smell, too. FedEx men. I hear they smell real bad. Anyway, Zelda just says that he was bringing her a package before telling Dirk that it's now very important that she closes the door in perhaps the greatest line of this episode.
I agree. And now it's very important that I close the door.
In the kitchen, Zelda tells Hilda that she wishes there was a way for her to let Dirk down easily. But Hilda says that there is. A new perfume she read about in her Modern Witch magazine called Revulsion. Zelda inquires and soon discovers that it's available at the full moon. Full moon. Cats on the brain. Full moon beauty supply. While Hilda says that she's ready to go right now, Zelda notes that it's only open once a month before explaining to a befuddled Hilda that it's open during the fucking full moon, you dolt. Chris.
Yes.
Let's go back to Funland.
Funland sounds like fun.
Fuck you, Harvey. Fuck you right up the butt. And here's why. Okay? Besides the fact you have great hair. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, what annoys me about that line is that, like, that's clearly Harvey thinking he's come up with a funny thing.
Oh, no. I don't think it is at all.
Oh, I think it is.
I think that is him being completely straightforward. I don't think he even realizes that he's just saying, like, Funland sounds like fun.
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure I think that was written to play into Harvey's, like, kind of dopiness, because, of course, Funland's fun, you idiot. It's in the fucking name.
Here's the thing. I think Harvey thinks that he's, like, making a joke.
I don't think so.
But what annoys me is that, you idiot, you're not making a joke. The joke is already there. It's called Funland because, you know, it sounds like fun. It's a fun land.
I think what you're thinking would be true had Sabrina said it, because that's the kind of shit Sabrina does. She says something like that and then she like smirks. Harvey's not like that. Harvey doesn't do that.
Hey guys, I'm selling tickets for the sophomore class trip to Funland. Do you want to go?
Sure. Funland sounds like fun.
Harvey was also wearing a ridiculous striped shirt, short sleeve shirt, with like different shades of burnt orange. It was surprising. I feel like I remember Harvey dressing better in my mind. Like, maybe he does in later seasons.
I think he was just
seasons.
More fashionable.
Maybe he's
than...
a better dresser in, like, two or three or four. But, like, season one, it's still, like, well into the 90s, so he's got some just awful fashions, and this was really bad.
I think you just... I don't think Harvey was ever particularly a great dresser. Not that I remember. You just loved Harvey. And I think maybe you remember him as being a better dresser because the clothes seemed more fashionable to you at the time than obviously it appears now.
You tell us, listeners, what do you think? Sabrina's Witch Trials on Instagram and Facebook, at Sabrina Podcast on Twitter. Tell us what you think. Harvey, fashion demon or dud? Just
demon,
you know what?
Or dud.
Just
they, use they both sound bad.
No, he's a demon. He's I don't know. Whatever. Demon or dud. Figure out which one's the bad one. Okay. I thought one of the bright spots of this episode
is... How about dude or dud?
I'm moving right along, Chris.
It's a dude.
Stick with me or you'll get left in the past. I thought one of the bright notes of this episode was the relationship between Sabrina and Salem.
Like, they're cute.
They're great together, yeah. And the two of them just like going on to this like little plan to try and earn some quick cash,
yeah.
I think is real fun. And they have a lot of fun exchanges throughout the episode, even in the scene.
I thought it was cute when they're like, oh, I was going to ask you for money. Yeah. How ironic, I was going to ask you.
Hello.
Hello.
Salem, what's going on?
I don't believe it. I just had my credit card yanked.
You have a credit card?
Yes, I was pre-approved by the good people of the Bank of Newark. Now I'm a little overextended.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I appreciate your concern.
No, because I was going to hit you up for a loan.
And I was going to ask you for money.
How ironic. We're doomed.
It's great. At one point, he's like, oh, I appreciate your support. Thanks a bunch. And it's like, oh, he's being sarcastic with her.
This is so cute.
I wish my cat was that kind of asshole and not a different kind of asshole.
It's cute because they have very similar temperaments. They're both very sarcastic.
Yeah.
And they're both kind of scoffing jerks.
What did you think of the revulsion?
And
joke?
They're both selfish.
And they are.
Except Salem is more likable because he's a cat.
He is. And he makes funny quips. He's a very quippy cat.
And I like goes, ooh! And he does that. That was a very poor impression. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean.
Nick Bakay is rolling over in his bed because he's still totally alive. Chris, about revulsion, what did you think about the joke and the use of magic?
I thought, well, we're not there yet.
No, but we know that it exists.
Okay. I think it's cool that there's a Modern Witch magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice who's on the cover?
No. Was it a...
It's Salem's girlfriend or ex, that model. I can't remember her name.
It's not Chrissy Brinkley. It's,
Of ones that it's not.
I can look it up, but I don't want to. I did notice who it was.
Yeah. I thought that it was cool. I was kind of pissed that it's only open once a month because I think that's a stupid business plan.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe their stuff is just really expensive.
I get it if you're trying to foster a sense of exclusivity, but that's not working because there's no one in your fucking shop.
Yeah, just call it like Any Moon Beauty Supply and
or Moon Stage or like
Moony Moon.
I don't know.
Moon. I can't say moon today. I'm gonna be fucked coming up.
What did you think about Dirk?
I think that it's a funny character. I think that we all have a little bit of Dirk in us, in that we all want to get with 1997
Zelly.
Beth Broderick.
Trying to get with that Zelly.
But, you know, I thought it was fine. I think it's funnier later on. And I think you start to feel bad for Dirk by the end of the episode, but we'll get there.
I don't feel that bad for him. I think Dirk is like the derpiest name possible.
Well, yeah, but it's designed to be. Like, yeah. You pay. Yeah.
Which is sad because the Dirk is a knife and it was used to kill people. So. Okay.
So maybe Dirk will kill someone by the end of this episode.
I mean.
Let's find out.
I think it would be a strong name like Blade or sure. Machete.
Please stop.
You're gonna name like.
Please stop listing knives.
You're gonna name your son like Machete.
No, I'm gonna name my son
Machete Arojo.
I'm gonna name my son Dwee B. Woozermeyer.
Dirk. Dirk the Derp.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Back in her room, Sabrina is reading the newspaper, looking for jobs, eventually settling on systems analyst before Salem explains that she probably needs to know something about computers. And since it's 1997, a lot of teens don't.
Good system, bad system.
Salem then spots an ad for the Greater Boston Cat Show, advertising a $500 grand prize. Sabrina scoffs, as she doesn't see him in a cat show, but he forces her to admit that he's pretty, and Salem tells her to grab an application, which she quickly zaps in. She begins filling it out for Salem.
Wait, she could zap in a fucking application from God knows where.
It's almost like...
But she couldn't zap in her textbook.
It's almost like there's some faulty continuity in this 20-year-old teen sitcom.
I see you, fucking Sabrina.
She begins filling it out for a Salem Spellman before he notes that he has his own last name, damn it, and it's Saberhagen. Very nice name. Very nice... cat name. She then asks for his breed, to which he answers, quote, American Shorthair, and darn proud of it.
And what breed are you?
American Shorthair, and darn proud of it. Write that down. The judges will eat that up.
He's very proud. She notes that all that's left is the $5 application fee, and while Salem says he's maxed out, we never hear about the fee again. So I guess they found $5 somewhere.
Stole it.
Probably stole it. Probably with a cat burglar.
They probably sold some of Zelly's panties to Dirk.
Hideous imagery. Later, we arrive at the cat show where Sabrina, Salem, and Harvey enter. And she grabs him the last cage while Harvey signs Mr. Saberhagen in. Salem then quickly analyzes his competition, calling them all losers. Before Sabrina... gives him a speech about behaving himself, eventually realizing how insane she must look as she's talking to a cat. Salem tells her to look around, and she quickly realizes that all cat owners are insane because they all talk to their cats, and I am not above that either.
Nope.
Hey, you better behave yourself.
I will.
You always say that, but what am I doing? If people see me talking to my cat, they'll think I'm nuts.
Look around.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
You want to be a winner. Think like a winner.
Okay, we can talk all we want.
A Mrs. Erickson then greets Sabrina, not the Sony Erickson, but a different one, and her pretty cat before noting how Salem doesn't have any ribbons, in turn bragging about all the ones her Duke has won. There's a good name for a mailman. She notes Duke is a Burmese, and upon asking about Salem, discovers that he's an American Shorthair and darn proud of it, you snarky bitch. Mrs. Erickson then heads off to finish grooming her Duke, and Salem notes... oh, we got a lot more of those coming, don't worry. Salem notes that Duke is wearing whisker extensions, adding that it's so obvious. Harvey then returns with Sabrina's entry number, lucky 38, I believe. It was 38, right? I wrote 83 here, but I think it's 38. Before marveling at the sight of local newsman and apparent guest judge at a cat show, Bob Gordon, who does some newsman voice before explaining his grueling judging process, which in turn makes Salem shed with fear because that's a thing cats do. Chris.
Al.
Let's go back to the bedroom when they're looking at system analyst jokes. Kay. Jokes. Jobs.
I think that... Well, it's the first time we hear Salem's last name.
That's true.
And I think it's an awesome one.
It's a very good name.
Saberhagen's a total badass name. I was like, huh, I wonder what Hagen means. And like, if they tried to do like, oh, his name means something. If you like, it could. I mean, if you think Saber.
Yes.
A saber, then that's fine. Like, it could be, you know.
Sword.
A saber, like a sword.
Yeah.
I think Hagen means grove in German.
Okay, so he's
but grove saber also means, like, sabed, like to know. Uh-huh. So it could be, like, grove of knowledge.
Chris, there's no meaning. It's just a name. It's alliteration.
I don't know.
I thought it was kind of weird that Sabrina thought that his last name would be Spellman, because you know he used to be a human and was turned into a cat. You know that whole story.
I know, but I guess she never really thought that he... She never really thought about it. You know, because he's always just been her cat. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Let's talk about the cat show for a second, though, because when Bob Gordon introduces himself in his very, very news anchor voice, saying, "I'm Bob Gordon."
Welcome to the Greater Boston Cat Show. I'm Bob Gordon.
Just put it in there.
Yes.
The audience laughs. Why the hell is the audience? It's not a joke. He is a newsman.
But he goes into that sort of newsman mindset where, like, his voice gets, like, to the point where it sounds like he's delivering the news, not mm-hmm. like having a random conversation with people. It's that shift in role where his voice goes to that almost, like, stereotypical sounding news anchor,
like out on a podcast.
Yes, like the beginning.
Did you notice who was playing Bob Gordon?
I know him. I just don't know what his name is.
Dan Forrick, and you probably know him best as, like, the chief on Law and Order SVU.
Yeah,
that's him.
I love him.
He's very good.
I love him on SVU.
I don't think he's great in this episode, but we'll talk about that more later on. But
there's one part that's, like, the best, the best thing ever.
I think he does a lot of overacting.
Yes, but I mean, it's a kid's show, so you know.
What did you have here, Chris?
What else? Let's see. Sabrina's headband. Did you notice Sabrina's headband?
No. Okay. I think I was more taken by her like shirt. And like, she was wearing a choker here also.
She was. She wears it the whole episode, I think.
Except for the judging at the end, because that's a different day.
Nope, she wears it at the end too.
Okay, then that's just bad continuity.
She wears it the whole time, and we'll get to that later.
Her headband.
But her headband was one of those, it's these plastic ones that were kind of scalloped.
Mm-hmm.
And when you... And, like, had pointed edges. And when you would put them in your hair, they dug in and, like, sort of made, like, these little bumps so mm-hmm. it looked kind of like you had, you know, scrunched the little hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had those.
I seem to remember those.
They were very grabby, but...
They had, like, little combs in them, didn't they?
Like teeth combs. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they held your shit in place.
I bet they were very 90s.
Very 90s. I saw it and I was just like, oh, and a choker.
That's right.
So 90s.
Did you like her, like, weird, like, daisy print shirt? It looked like yellow, but it was a bunch
of,
like, flowers.
Zelda had a daisy print shirt.
No. She also had one, but hers was, like, sparse. Sabrina's was just, like, a bunch of daisies to make it look like it was almost, like, tie-dye-ish.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it was daisies. I just saw the, like, tie-dye.
Yeah, it was. And it was weird. Maybe not the worst, maybe not the best. I don't know how. I kind of like that outfit. I don't know why I think the choker makes it work. Anyway.
Also, American short hairs are adorable.
They are very cute.
I realized that.
I think the most fun...
British short hairs are really cute, too, but they have very round faces.
I don't like round face cats, but that's... that's a discussion for my other podcast exclusively about cats.
Cat face.
Bitch, please. Please.
No, you could come up with a better podcast name.
It's pretty good. Okay. Uh-oh. Anyway, my favorite part of the scene was not so much what was going on as watching the cat, the actual cat in the cage next to Salem. Because he is just like a mix of mesmerized by this animatronic cat and also clearly uncomfortable by this animatronic cat. It's great. It's like he looks at it and he's shocked and like moves back a little. And I was like, he is not a happy cat.
At least he wasn't hissing or anything.
Well, I mean, he's a show cat.
Those show cats, they're super professional.
Yeah. Gotta be.
You want to talk about Mrs. Erickson?
We can.
Okay. I love that she is just, like, proudly wearing all her ribbons. Sure. Like, no shame.
I'm sure most, like cat moms like that do.
Oh, my God. And the subtle shade that this bitch throws.
She's good. Real good.
Oh, what a pretty cat. Mm. Oh, but no ribbons. Oh. Mm. Oh, she fucking sucks. Get the fuck out of here.
It's so nice of you to adopt a cat straight out of a dumpster and bring it to a cat show. Aw. You're great.
It was well done.
What a pretty cat. Oh, no ribbons.
This is our first show.
Duke has won quite a few times. See?
And I love when the, what was it, Bob?
Gordon?
Bob Gordon, when he's talking about, you know, what to expect. And he's, it's going to be a thorough and grueling competition.
We find out how thorough it is pretty soon.
Grueling.
Yeah.
You know, all those mountains you got to climb.
He does have a lot of, like, checks on his list to judge a cat, but we'll get into that right now, actually. We then cut to Mr. Gordon looking at Salem's,
Wait, I had one more thing to say, sorry.
Please do.
How the fuck is he qualified?
I want to talk about that later.
Okay. Like, how?
Okay. Anyway, Salem's undercarriage is being examined by Bob Gordon, let's say undercarriage. While Sabrina wonders what he's doing, and Harvey just assumes he's checking his tender vittles. That's another cat food joke. Get ready.
Get out of here.
Get ready. Gordon then declares Salem is great and names him one of the top three American short hairs before beginning the parade of semifinalists, which Sabrina soon discovers is basically a march of conniving cat owners and their pussies.
Now, let's begin the parade of semifinalists.
Parade?
Watch out for Andrew. He'll try to trip you.
Watch out for Mrs. Erickson. She plays head games.
Watch out for Haley. She's paranoid.
Here we go.
This is the cheesiest thing I've ever done.
Smile.
Hey!
Did I step on your shoe?
Am I supposed to choose?
After the parade, Harvey asks if he can go as he's, quote, bored out of his skull. And Sabrina agrees. And after Sabrina agrees, he tells her this was fun. A lie. Just then, Mr. Gordon begins the one-on-one interviews as we see Salem's, where Sabrina describes him as friendly, very focused, and a bit power mad. Basically any cat anyone has ever owned anywhere. She then goes over the top here by having Salem do a multiplication problem for a stunned Mr. Gordon, though he does note that they only judge strictly on looks, like Al.
Amazing. Although we do judge purely on appearance.
Isn't that life?
Isn't that the way of the world?
Very true. And good delivery, I thought, by Melissa Joan Hart there, too. Yeah. I like that. After the interview, Mr. Gordon begins announcing the best of breed winners, leading to a montage of cat owners getting ribbons, including a discount, like, Blofeld from James Bond. He's clearly the James Bond Blofeld guy. Yeah. Who laughs maniacally. We eventually then see the short hair presentation where, after considering an old lady's pussy, Mr. Gordon decides on Sabrina's kitty instead.
Come on, Al.
There are very few moments when you get to be proud as a podcaster. That sentence is my...
Get out of here.
It's like my Olympic.
It's your Waterloo?
It's my, no. It's my Olympids, as I said. Not Olympics. Man, it would have sounded way better if I didn't fuck it up. Okay. So, Sabrina wins and then... You know, she American short hair and darn proud of it one more time. Anyway, back at home, Zelda then calls Hilda because as it's now a full moon, they can go to the beauty supply shop. A couple of gals hitting the town, buying some enchanted...
Fishes.
That's right. Buying some beans and shit. Okay. Anyway, they go as Zelda hopes that Revulsion will keep Dirk from attacking the UPS guy. At full moon... Every time.
What is wrong
full
with
moon
you?
Beauty at full moon beauty at the beauty supply shop. An unreasonably offensive Asian stereotype greets Hilda and Zelda and quickly shows Zelda to the Revulsion before pushing her to buy a big bottle as she's too pretty for one of those small bottles of Revulsion. She then shows Hilda the quote makeover mirror, which shows you at your best, and in turn pushes them to each buy one. After she tries selling them wrinkle berries, which remove lines on your face, and I assume like
other places,
yeah, ass or vagina, because that's the only reason you would say other places.
Belly,
but you would say belly anyway.
It's definitely
you. After that, Zelda thanks her but says that they can shop by themselves, you irritating Asian stereotype. Chris.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Gordon and his judging. You brought up how is he qualified.
Yeah, I don't.
I think it's fucking hilarious that Bob Gordon is so like
into it.
So very committed to judging these cats. Yeah. Because like traditionally a celebrity guest judge would just be like, okay, that one's cute. That wins. But Bob Gordon, he's looking at balls.
Bone structure.
He's doing interviews. He's leading parades. This guy, he was born a cat show judge and just became a newscaster.
It's just
he belongs here.
It's all a mess.
Later on, I would have kind of liked him. I would have kind of liked to see him like fighting himself more, because we'll talk about what happens. Like, I want to see him just like internally going, God, but the sanctity of the cat show. I can't do what I'm being asked to do. Anyway, did you like the cat parade music and its weird like elevator sounds?
It was not good.
Of all the music you could play at a cat parade.
And I was kind of like, Sabrina, you need to be selling this right now. You're not selling it. Look at your competition. They're chasseing and like shimmying and
one of them almost killed James Bond. Come on.
You're not doing anything. You're just like, I'm a teenager. I'm so awkward. You want that money? You gotta work, bitch.
Thank you, Britney Spears. Did you notice that whenever Bob Gordon is like talking, they zoom straight in on his face and like it's a real tight shot of his face?
Do you think that's to try and like
I do
get the news anchoriness?
I didn't think
is
that.
Is it just because he's expressive?
I think it's because they're highlighting the thing on the top of his head.
The noggin.
So I meant the thing on top of his noggin. I know. Yeah. His bald head, because you know, you've seen the show, it's 20 years old, we can stop dancing around it. What do you think here, Chris? Cut all this stuff.
In terms of the parade, or in terms of
the scene. Sticking at the cat show before we go to Full Moon. I almost did it again.
I think it was pretty good. I think it was pretty standard. I mean, you know, Harvey with the not knowing what's going on sort of cliche.
Nobody knew what was going on, though. Like,
you know what's going on. He's checking him to check his like structure and shape.
I guess. Wouldn't you just like...
They do that in animal shows all the time.
Just swing him around your head for a while.
I thought it was weird that he handed him back to...
Sabrina.
Yeah, like that. Like,
here's your cat.
Here's your pizza. Like, why wouldn't you just put him down and then let Sabrina pick him up? But no, you like, here you go, your stretched out cat.
Here's one pork loin.
So weird.
I thought that the actual Salem cat was perhaps at his cutest.
Oh, he's so funny.
When he's
cute.
Sitting at the table during the interview and like Sabrina and Bob Gordon are talking, he's just got his like paws on the table. Yeah. It's fucking adorable.
I think, they got a really good stage cat because he's so well behaved, mm-hmm. and his face is just so fucking cute.
All like, the cats in this episode are fucking adorable.
When they do the close up shots,
I forget what her name is, but like
those are my excited sounds.
Not Mrs. Erickson, but like the other woman, the one who's like,
yeah, her cat's really cute.
Yeah, it's like orange.
Yeah, because they had cute eyes and like along the fur on its face kind of went out, and it was kind of like the Farrah Fawcett of cats.
And the James Bond cat was also very cute.
Yeah. But that's like the is a Fancy Feast that has the cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heading over to Full Moon Beauty Supply. let's talk about this, because I'm not being overly PC here, right? This is clearly a very offensive Asian stereotype, even in 1997.
It is. I mean, it's not. It's the accent. They went over the top with the accent.
Yeah.
But I don't think otherwise it's very, you know,
it feels like a typical like over the top stereotypical Asian like salon lady.
Hello, welcome to Full Moon Beauty Supply. May I help you?
I need a bottle of Revulsion.
Oh, someone's bothering you. A little or a lot?
Well,
I'll get the big one. A pretty girl like you needs a lot of Revulsion.
I don't think so, because I've been to Asian salons and they're not like that. I think the character is more like they just told her, okay, you need to have a really strong accent and be really pushy. But I think for me what the problem was that her accent was too strong and it sounded very fake. Like there were points where she was trying so hard to make it be over the top that it sounded almost Jamaican. I know you don't think it did, but like there, if you listen back to it, there are certain things she says where I'm just like, what is going on?
All I know is the Anti-Defamation League is on the phone right now.
Maybe you think that it was too stereotypical because that with the combination of the pushiness.
Yeah.
But I guess I could see that in terms of like if you watch a lot of like Chinese or Korean shows, like dramas from China or Korea, they do like the salespeople are shown to be very much like, oh, but look, you know, look at how good this is, like very pushy and like very in your face. Mm-hmm. But I don't, with my experience in flushing with a lot of like Korean and Chinese people, I don't feel like that's the way that they are.
We're talking about Flushing, Queens here, folks?
Yes, Flushing, Queens. There's
in New York
a huge Korean community, and there's also a good amount of Chinese population as well. And there's a lot of stores that are run pretty much solely by Koreans, and you know, it's,
they're not that pushy, is what you're saying.
They're very busy, and very loud. But I don't like the stores themselves. But I don't feel like they're trying to push product on you the way that she was.
I think the annoying thing for me is like Daphne, the character's name, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know what her name was. Did they say it in the thing?
I don't think they said it in the show, but I found it.
I kept trying to listen for it to see if they said it. And
like Daphne actually has some funny moments. Like some of the lines are funny and her delivery is funny. And it would be just as funny without this ridiculous
accent. Is just, it's too much.
All right, let's move along here.
I have a lot to say about store though.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Hilda then spots some stress mints and wonders if they work and picks one up. Zelda tells her to be careful, however, as it says no sampling. But ignoring the advice, Hilda eats one and quickly is transformed into a little person. The saleswoman, Daphne, quickly returns, celebrating the effectiveness of her no sample spell, and Hilda asks her to change her back. The woman, Daphne, agrees, but says first she has to pay for the mint, and buy a sample antidote, and then buy a gift certificate. And this leads Hilda to bemoan the fact that she's sticking it to the little guy. Little Hilda. Wilda. Nice. Hashtag Wilda.
You can't even say it well.
Wilda.
Yeah, but you didn't say hashtag Lilda. You said like Lola. What?
Get off my show.
No.
Back at the cat show.
My show now.
You heard it, folks.
I am the captain now.
You heard it, folks. It's Chris's show now. Back at the cat show, Salem tells Sabrina today, best of breed. Tomorrow, best of show. As she gives him his milk and copy of The Economist. Sabrina then spots Bob Gordon as she heads outside to call her aunts, leaving Gordon to answer his very 1997 cell phone. Gordon's conversation quickly goes from bad to worse, as he's told to look in his briefcase at a photo, and as Salem is overhearing, he is pressured into making the caller's cat best in show, which he agrees to do as he's now being blackmailed.
Who is this? Yes, I'm alone.
Hmm?
And the briefcase? Oh, dear Lord. Where did you get this photo? Name your price. I'll pay you anything. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's it? No problem. You just keep those negatives to yourself, and I promise your cat will be named Best of Show.
I wrote Gordo here for some reason. Gordo then quickly runs into his office to destroy the photo and throw it in the trash, returning just in time to be a dick to Sabrina as he walks out. Sabrina asks what's with him, and Salem explains that the contest is now rigged and notes Gordon's call and about the photo which he went into the office to destroy. Sabrina goes in there, finding the photo in the garbage can, and after a bit of magic, which causes it to, like, shoot out of the garbage can, tells us that if people only knew. Just then, Mr. Gordon returns in search of his very 90s cell phone, only to spot the office door ajar. That's right, ajar. Going to investigate, Salem loudly meows to warn Sabrina, who transforms into an adorably blonde cat as Gordon enters. He eventually places Cat Sabrina in the cage next to Salem and notes how pretty a kitty she is before mentioning that she doesn't have a chance as he walks out. Once gone, Salem calls out for Sabrina, only to discover that she's in the cage right next to him. Chris.
Dun, dun, dun.
Stop doing that. That was longer than like a suspense. That was like ABC News. That's what that was. Okay, Chris. Mm-hmm. Hilda becoming a little person is probably one of the things I remember most from this episode, even as a kid. And I absolutely love it. Now, I usually
still love it?
I still love it.
Okay.
And I loved it then, but I love it now because the actress that they got is a very convincing little Hilda.
Yeah. And the lip sync is done really well.
It's done very well, too. And I think they did a smart thing where Hilda's outfit is simple enough where a small version, you won't notice any differences because it's just like all black and then like a very bright pink vest. So it looks perfect on any size of person. and I thought as a bit, it's just fantastically done and I love it. Tell us about the beauty of my shop, Chris.
I thought it was a little cheap, but you know, it's fine. I thought it was like kid humor. Like, oh,
yeah but it's good kid humor.
There's a little bit of cat in there.
Yeah, cat humor. The beauty supply shop.
Yes. I love that the makeover mirror is literally the most basic dollar store mirror you can buy.
It really is.
It's like, just fucking blue plastic.
It's made by like Goody.
It's not even. It's, like, Goody is too expensive for this shit. Like, this is literally like dollar store.
This is baddie.
Like, I'd expect for it to be a makeover mirror and to be magical. Like, for it to be gold filigree with like an engraved handle or like, you know, like the fucking mirror from Beauty and the Beast or something. Or not like just cheap blue plastic, you know.
Hey.
Sneeze and it breaks because it's
probably
cheap.
Probably made under the realm China. I mean, what are you going to do?
And why the fuck? I'm sorry. This just didn't make sense to me. If I have a photo that I'm trying to conceal because it could ruin my future.
You wouldn't just take it with you?
Why the fuck would you rip it up, like barely rip it up, and put it in like a waste basket in an office that everyone has fucking access to because nothing is locked?
Yep.
And literally put the wastebasket on your desk and leave it there.
That was probably the weirdest
thing. Like front and center. Oh, there's nothing in the wastebasket. Let me just put it front and center with a torn up picture that can easily be reassembled. Yeah, Sabrina didn't have to use magic. She could have literally laid it out on the desk. It's like four pieces. Big pieces. Yeah. Like, it's not that difficult.
He should have eaten it. That's what I do with anything I don't want people to see.
Take it with you. And then shred it really small and then dispose of it in like a garbage on like a street corner or like one piece here, then the next street corner, another piece like
or cook it.
That's
into
how
a,
you fucking do it.
Cook it into a pie and give the pie to 8 different friends so that you
bury it like
I think mine is still bury it. No, make a pie. Put it in a pie.
Dissolve it in alcohol. I don't know.
I don't think that would work at all.
You think you can?
I don't think alcohol would do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know how photos were.
Nail polish remover, acetone. You just
it was pretty dumb by Bob Gordon, in all honesty.
Feed it to some chickens.
Well done. Going from bad to terrifying, however, did you see the Salem puppet spit out its milk? Because at one point it spits out its milk. It's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Like, as good as the Salem animatronic has gotten, this was horrifying because you can see like it's like robot mouth and you can see it's just, oh, it's awful. I watched it 4 times because I couldn't believe my eyes.
You didn't want to get milk all over the good animatronic Salem.
It just looks terrifying. It's like, it looks like it's spewing acid or something. No, that's Home Improvement. You've mixed it up again.
Yeah, that was kind of his sound.
one other little thing I noted and loved. The cat show is sponsored by a fake cat food company named Feline Feast. Mm-hmm. Did you see the signage?
I did.
Okay. Did you notice that the signs, the logo for Feline Feast, the F's in Feline Feast are made of cats?
I don't think I noticed that.
It's really kind of cute. Because I'm a guy who loves like logos like that, and I really enjoyed it. Way more than I expected this show to do. I expected it to just be like printed like, sponsored by Cat Food Company. The cat food company that makes cat food.
Good job.
That's what they would do.
It's not that hard.
Fucking Funland. Anyway, after the break, Sabrina bemoans the fact that without fingers, she can't zap herself back before freaking out about her own tail. Just then, the aunties arrive to pick Sabrina up, only to discover that their niece is now a teenage tabby.
Hello? Sabrina? Are you in here?
Yes, next to Salem.
Sabrina?
Hi. Or should I say, meow.
Oh, look how cute the little blonde kitty is.
I have claws and I will use them.
The... Rather.
Was she a tabby?
It's alliteration!
You should be, you know, correct about it, though, because...
Please shut up.
It's a cat.
They then set about changing her back, and after a horrifying Animorphs-style in-between phase...
Oh, no.
Sabrina returns to her human form. Zelda asks for an explanation, but Sabrina agrees to give her one, but only after being allowed to brush her teeth. At home, we see her coughing up some hairballs, which would mean that she licked herself in like the 10 minutes between when...
It's a natural instinct for a cat.
I guess, but whatever. Anyway, she's coughing up hairballs, and the aunties marvel at the blackmail scheme afoot, which Sabrina tells them is a cauldron of corruption. Hilda tells her that all she has to do is find the blackmailer, and Zelda adds that only the blackmailer took this photo, before using a reverse angle spell to show who took it. This kind of falls flat, however, as it only provides an image of a shadowy robed figure with a big camera in front of their face. Just when she thinks she's screwed, Sabrina notices a bit of an anomaly in the photo, that being the photo bug's right hand and an irregularity of the index finger, noting that it's half gone. The aunties tell her whoever is missing half an index finger is her blackmailer. I had to make sure I didn't write like sex slave or something weird here. At the contest the next day, Sabrina starts her search for the crook. First, by trying to shake Mrs. Erickson's hand, only to discover that it's gloved. Things then get worse for our teenage witch, as she tries to get another contestant to remove his grooming mitt, and is promptly told to fuck off. She then hits rock bottom when trying to shake Haley's hand. Haley was the one with the orange cat. She's told that she doesn't touch people.
Haley, I just wanted to say it's been really great getting to know you.
I don't touch people.
Neither does Al. I had to, sorry.
Do a podcast here?
Go ahead.
I'm going to insult you, you smelly jackass.
Go ahead.
The aunties then arrive, and after Sav explains how bad an investigation is
sounds
going...
Sounds like you're on NPR.
No, you don't listen to... No, NPR
I
is
have not, heard NPR.
NPR is pretty... Okay. NPR, the people on NPR are fantastic, and you shouldn't...
I'm sure they are, but
anyway,
they kind of sound like that.
Anyway, the aunts arrive.
Was that insulting them?
Sabrina says things are going bad, and the aunts give her a foolproof strategy, that being mini quiche.
I mean, it's won many hearts.
Including Chris's. Her heart is full of quiche. She's going to die in 3 weeks. It immediately works, as you would think it would, and all three suspects remove their hand coverings, in turn revealing that they're all missing part of their right index fingers.
Or all bent their finger in the most obvious way.
You're goddamn right. Prosthetics, fuck that. Just
nope.
You want some sticky tape? We can sticky tape your finger back.
Just bend it. I know. Sticky tape. Oh, I've lost my finger.
Anyway, they all marvel at their shared missing index finger. and trade finger loss stories as Serena just pouts about her plan failing. Chris.
Yeah.
Going back to when Sabrina becomes human again.
Yes.
What did you think?
Why would you bother superimposing her face on the cat?
Horrifying.
I fucking hate that shit. I hate it because it always looks cheesy. It never looks good. You're way better off just making her transform.
Come on, all the great special effects of the 90s.
But it was the 90s. Did it impress you? They had to.
I thought this is where you would see like Hilda's like sneezing thing come up again.
Nope.
Like where she would sneeze and it would only go halfway.
Yeah.
Nope. But nope. No. I'm just going to freakish cat girl.
Okay.
I do love the fact that they use that there is a relevant spell in like the reverse angle spell, mm-hmm. but that it doesn't just solve the issue immediately. Like, I love the fact that magic can help somewhat, but magic isn't just like a catch-all fix for everything.
It's like Google.
Sure. It's exactly like, it's the Google of things magic is.
I mean, it kind of is.
I just love the fact that it's like, you expect magic to just fix everything right away and tell her who the blackmailer is, but it doesn't.
I low-key died a bit when she said, who would have thought the cat show would be a cauldron of corruption? Yeah. More like cauldron of perruption, as the case may be.
Have a show title. I would have loved it if she was like, a cauldron of corruption. Because we're witches.
I get it, but
zap,
it's like...
Zap, zap.
But at the same time, like, are there cauldrons of corruption? Like,
no.
Sex cauldrons of corruption?
I thought they shut that place down. God, all the Simpsons fans out there are just having a great night.
Excuse me, Edna. I don't think we're talking about love here. We're talking about S-E-X in front of the C-H-I-L-D-R-E-N.
Sex cauldron! I thought they closed that place down.
It was she said it with such a fucking straight face that I was just like, nope.
Discussing things said with a straight face that are hilarious. Maybe my favorite thing in this episode is all the stupid ways that these people lost part of their index finger.
Well, wait, before that though.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say about that too.
Okay.
Not a lot, but you know, a reasonable amount.
Hurry the fuck up.
Did you notice that, like, when they did the reverse angle spell,
yeah.
they had to peel away the thing? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're literally just zapping the picture. Wouldn't it just...
No.
Magic. Just change the picture? No, you have to... It's just got to be a reveal.
Yeah.
It's got to be old-fashioned
film.
It's
not a digital photo, Chris.
It's fucking weird.
Come on.
So weird. Anyway, go ahead.
The ridiculous ways. Shop class?
Yep.
A farm accident? And we find out that Haley keeps wolverines, or kept wolverines.
Yeah, used to keep wolverines.
I would have also liked Chinese finger trap gone wrong. Took part of my finger off. Look at, oh no, I lost part of my index. You guys can't tell, but I've just folded my finger over, so now I'm also an actor. Chris?
Yes.
What did you think? You had something to say here?
Yeah. How convenient is it that the person in the photo just happens to be missing half a finger, and then how even more like convenient or coincidental is it that they're all fucking missing half a finger?
Chris, you realize it's a written TV show, right?
It's ridiculous.
I'm waiting for you to be like at the end of this episode, how convenient a teenager had magical powers and was able to transform herself into a cat.
It's just like, ugh, come on. Yes. I get it. It's a storytelling.
That's
device.
What you had to say? That was your big
yes.
thing about it? As you noted before, the other amazing aspect is that they just told them to fold their fingers. Out. Like, we don't want to spend one more dollar on this bit than we have to.
Yeah.
Just keep your finger closed and we'll get out of here in like 10
and
seconds.
And the mini quiche looked underbaked.
Take that.
Surprisingly pale.
Craft
like
services.
Like Sabrina. Shade.
Melissa Joan Hart isn't gonna like that. Fuck, do I?
It's fine. I'm super pale too. Don't worry about
it. I was gonna say, you're a fucking ghost.
But your quiche though.
You make quiche look like chocolate chip cookies.
Girl.
Oh shit, no,
you
didn't.
You need to brown that quiche.
Okay. Getting back to the show, and Chris will quickly shut up about quiche.
Nope, never.
Sabrina eventually becomes sick of all this shit and decides to just confront Mr. Gordon, who calls her pushy like a young Diane Sawyer. Pushing the ABC folks. In his office, She says that she knows he's being blackmailed and his secret. He offers her second place, but she says that she wants him to just come clean and admit that he's bald. We already said that, so it's not a big shocker. Shushing her, he explains that it could ruin his career, as in the 90s, people trust people with hair. That's why I wear my toupee. I mean, wear my hair, which is definitely mine, and I'm not bald. She says that he's not playing fair, but Gordon just rips her a new one, noting that he had to wear a toupee to his first frat party, so fuck off, bitch!
He didn't have to wear a toupee. He could have gone bald. He could have free-balled it.
He wanted to be... That's pretty bad.
I'm really sorry. I tried.
He wanted to seem trustworthy, so he had to wear his... I don't know. I only like to drink with guys I can trust. Bob Gordon here. I'm doing the toupee adjusting thing. Chris no is laughing vociferously. Anyway, so after Sabrina's told to fuck off, Harvey soon arrives, saying that he didn't want to miss Salem's big showdown. Not his big cat showdown, just his big general showdown. But Sabrina explains that all he missed is the confirmation that they're living in a rotten, corrupt world. And this, for some reason, pleases Harvey.
He's glad he didn't miss anything.
Mr. Gordon then begins the presentation before asking to see Mrs. Erickson's cat, as the aunties figure that she was the blackmailer all along. Gordon, Bob Gordon, then marvels at Duke, explaining that he's got lovely tension in his whiskers, and as he touches them, the whisker extensions come off right in his hands. Andrew, the guy with the grooming mitt, complains that they're illegal, but Mrs. Erickson says that there's nothing in the rulebook about them, and Gordon defends her right to glue bits of hair on her kitty to improve its image. Upon staring at Duke, however, Gordon realizes that it's like looking into a mirror, eventually deciding to come clean with a top story of his own, his very bald head.
Oh, dear Lord. It's like looking into a mirror. It's time to come clean. Our top story tonight is this. He's bald.
Sabrina explained to the group how Gordon believed that he needed hair to be trusted, but that trust really comes from knowledge, integrity, and accurate reporting. Hilda, in probably one of her best lines in a while, then accurately notes that Sabrina, he's on TV news. Which quickly shuts her up, because, I mean, come on. Anyway. Sabrina still notes that Gordon should be commended for bearing his naked head, but Andrew and Blofeld just quickly point to their own cue balls and ask to get on with the pussy pageant already. That was probably one of my favorite, like, low-key jokes, is just, like, Andrew going... What the hell are you talking about? We're all fucking bald.
Yeah, but he had a hat on the whole time.
He did, but that's because of the reveal.
I get it, but at the same time, what you hiding, Andrew?
He just wanted to look like a saucy man with a hat. As we all do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just wear a hat in bed because I want to be a saucy man in bed.
Try to look like a sheep farmer is what he's trying to look like.
And he did. Chris.
Yes.
Let's talk about Bob Gordon in the scene, because this is where I noted that he's really doing a lazy bit of overacting in this episode. Yeah. Like... just everything is loud and over the top. You really see
it's the 90s. It's a kid's show. It's like, that's what gets him.
It's just very loud and very bump. It's like Al on a podcast. I mean, come on. No, but I think
same thought.
I think you really see it in the scene where he's yelling at Sabrina about don't talk to me about things being unfair.
But they believe in you, and you're not playing fair.
You want to talk about fair? I wore a toupee to my first frat party. Don't talk to me about fair.
It's fucking life, Sabrina. You need to learn this already. How has she not learned this yet? You're a witch, first of all. You already have an advantage that other people don't. You should already know that life isn't fair. Because you can take trophies away from, like, skilled martial artists and, you know, that's totally
thought
okay.
We forgot about that, did you, huh? Sabrina?
Fucking bitch.
You can go out with great guys from Beverly Hills 90210.
Make them out of dough.
And make them out of dough. Beverly Hills 90210 dough. Damn it, that should have been the title of that episode. Fuck. Fuck.
That was a good...
Right?
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
What was that episode called?
The podcast episode?
The Mando episode.
I don't remember. I'll look it up while you tell us about how much you loved the It's Like Looking Into a Mirror joke.
Okay, so, well, I have stuff to say about that exchange with Duke.
Okay.
When he, you know, was checking Duke out.
You might say he dropped a dookie.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I really enjoyed that.
I don't know if you noticed. So when he's talking to Mrs. Erickson and to the crowd at large, mm-hmm. He's holding Duke. And they... So he's talking and he says, if Mrs. Erickson would like to glue bits of hair onto her animal to improve its image, she can. And they do like an over the shoulder shot after he says it, mm-hmm. looking at Mrs. Erickson, right? And you see Duke because he's holding Duke, and Duke's expression as he says it is like, is this fucking bitch calling me out? It is the best. Like, you have to, pause it. You have to watch it and pause it because he seems so taken aback, and it's a cat, so it's really cute.
And lest we forget,
hold it's on, a cat. I'm gonna get to it. Just so I can show you, you can cut this shit out.
I believe it, but show me after.
No, I'm gonna show you now because full effect.
God, I believe you.
Full effect.
Okay, while you look up what you're trying to look up to show me, can we talk about Sabrina's like white ribbed like short sleeve top with?
I thought it was cute.
Here's the thing is, I think it just looks out of place on her. Like, I think it's a okay shirt, but it doesn't look like something Sabrina would wear, especially in like season one.
I think it's cute. It's simple.
It was very low cut, which I did not mind at all.
It wasn't that low cut.
For a teenage witch.
Tops like that were very popular, where it was like a very like 70s, 60s style top.
I liked it because I knew like she was like 21 at this point. But
shirts
I mean,
with like
whatever.
A collar, like, and the collar was always different. I had one like that was like, I think it had like a little zipper. You see them all the time on the show, like polyester shirts with like either a cut or a zip, mm-hmm. and like a very prominent collar.
And one last thing I want to touch on here, I adore that when Mrs. Erickson sees Bob Gordon take his toupee off, she immediately tries to like put it back on his head and tells people about you saw none of that.
Secrets still under wraps.
Fucking great. I think one of the funniest things. Also, it is a great joke to have the two bald guys just be like, big fucking deal, we're all bald. Yeah. Come on. Nah. I liked it a lot.
Hold on. I got to his face finally. Is this bitch calling me out?
He is a very shocked cat. Very good. Okay. Mrs. Erickson says Duke and his bug eyes was already announced best in show.
Which technically he wasn't. He never said Duke was the winner.
No, but she called Duke out.
He's just like, can I see... Then he was like doing his spiel, like, "Oh, look at how pointy your whiskers are."
Nicely done.
Thanks.
Gordon says he takes it back, as he's disqualifying Duke for Mrs. Erickson trying to blackmail a cat show official, which he definitely is. She freaks out, noting how Duke is getting older, before stating that she misses her youth, and runs out. Getting back to the show and away from the crazy old lady, Gordon says he knows who Best in Show is before asking to see Salem, who says that time seems to be moving in slow motion. Gordon starts to name Salem Best in Show before really awkwardly stopping. Like, this is the height of bad delivery from Bob Gordon. I'm just going to put it in here.
Now, here is a cat who is not only attractive but intelligent. And I would like to award it the first prize, blue ribbon. Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. There is another cat.
Wasn't that terrible? It definitely was. Anyway, he stops because he remembers a cuter blonde cat that he saw earlier. Sabrina remembers this cat and runs out of the room, soon returning as Cat Sabrina. Telling Zella to pretend that she is her cat, Zelda presents Sabrina the cat, as Harvey rightly wonders if it gets confusing around the house. Gordon then announces Sabrina the cat as grand champion, leading her to give us a woohoo, and leading Salem to start weeping openly. After the ceremony, Zelda and Harvey, and I believe Hilda's there too. They're all standing around, and sorry, no, it's just Zelda and Harvey. Zelda tells Harvey that despite he thinking that Sabrina the cat is the sweetest cat ever, she isn't for sale. You creep. Why are you trying to buy my cat?
Yeah. That was, I guess he just really loved the cat.
Yes.
And they obviously don't because they've never shown never the cat showed up before.
Just then, Hilda
I
returns.
Thought that was so sweet, though.
What, that he really loves the cat?
Yeah, like him just petting the cat and like cuddling with the cat and just like,
I thought
oh,
it was a bit,
she's the sweetest.
I thought it was a bit out of character that he was smart enough to realize that that was probably going to be confusing around their house. Like, if the cat's named Sabrina and she's named Sabrina, like, this guy can't even figure out that Funland is a joke.
I feel like that's pretty obvious.
I don't know. Anyway, so can't buy my cat. Just then, Hilda returns from Gordon's office as she felt bad for him and wanted to leave him a present. We soon find out that it's not a turd, which I expected, because when you leave a present in somebody's office, it's usually a turd.
She was being nice, though.
Instead, it's a makeover mirror. Bob uses it to check out the damage, only to jizz himself with delight, including giving us a Bobby Baby Bobby Booby.
Let's check out the damage. Oh, my. I look fabulous. Bobby Baby Bobby Booby. I'm Bob Gordon, and this is Eyewitness Action News Center 8.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Later in her room, Salem is giving Sabrina the cat equivalent of the silent treatment, eventually relenting and saying that he's mad at her for costing him Best in Show. Sabrina says it all turned out well as she agreed to pay off his debt with the show winnings, but she soon realizes that she still hurts Salem and decides to give him her Best in Show ribbon as he is the best cat, causing Salem to tear up once more. Chris.
Yeah.
Going back to Mrs. Erickson and her freak out.
That was kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Even with her craziness, I still feel like cat moms are better than like stage moms, like pageant moms. Like, I would much rather hang out with a cat pageant mom than a regular pageant mom.
Well, I think it's better because like the thing with their like pageant momming isn't a human. I think there's something really sad when it's like, oh, come on, it's a kid. Don't
fuck up your kid.
Don't glue little whiskers onto your kid. Come on, stop it. But yeah, she's real fun here.
And I loved, was it Haley? Is Haley?
Haley is the
one.
She
says, enough about people. Who's the best cat?
That's what we were all thinking.
I mean, I think that's what a lot of people think. Because, like, people fucking suck. But cats suck in a different way.
This is kind of where the story kind of falls apart for me. It's like, Sabrina says that she took Best in Show from Salem because her vanity kicked in for a second.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, she, not once was she ever like, oh, I wish I was Best in Show. Like, it's never teased. No. It's never brought up before. She doesn't like being a cat. Like, had she made the argument that, like, well, he was looking for me to give me Best in Show, so I was securing us the $500. Like, yeah. That's an argument that you would believe, but vanity taking over? Doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No. I guess because if you weigh the options, had she not done it, Salem still would have won because there was no other blonde cat. So in terms of her choosing to do it rather than not and still having Salem get it, I think it had to be vanity. That's the only obvious explanation. Do you know what I mean?
But it doesn't make any sense.
I know. It comes out of nowhere, but I guess, you know,
what are you
it
kind
of makes sense.
In a way that makes no sense.
I fucking loved when Bob Gordon is like talking about Salem and he's like, oh, and he's super great. Whoa. Wait a minute. I think I still remember that. It's just so good.
The like, worst acting so ridiculous, ever.
But it's so fucking like abrupt and it just so, it's just so good.
Not even
it's
trying so anymore. Good.
And I just thought it was funny. Like, where you're like, whoa. Like, you're the one talking. Like, you don't need to stop anyone.
Shut up,
just stopping
me.
Yourself.
God, terrible. Anyway,
so stupid.
Let's go to the credits. As the credits roll, Dirk arrives with a letter for Zelda and some Omaha steaks he found in the lost mail section. She thanks him and asks him inside for coffee, leading him to nearly bump his boner on the way in. He's got quite an erection, probably.
It's finally happening.
In the kitchen, the two exchange coffee and mail talk before Dirk... I might have called him Kirk. No, I've written Kirk and Dirk throughout these notes. Before Dirk lets loose with his feelings about Zelda and asks if she can meet his parents next weekend. Very, very forthright and respectable gentleman wants to introduce the family.
Not creepy at all.
As she sprays on some revulsion, she tells him that he might want to wait on that before turning to reveal buck teeth, a few facial warts, as well as some bushy brows. Dirk, clearly a gentleman, just asks if she's feeling a bit tired, and a dejected Helda. I've done it before, but I haven't done it in a while.
Helda.
And a dejected Zelda just slumps in her chair, noting that she's feeling exhausted as the show closes. Chris, mm-hmm. I see that Zelda's trying to let him down easy, but I feel like Zelda's kind of being a bit of a jerk here. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because she's kind of leading Dirk
along.
By
inviting him in.
Yeah, by inviting him in and giving him coffee and all this stuff. And it's like, she could easily just be like, you know, you're a very sweet guy, but I don't like you in that way. And while it may hurt him in the short term, at least he knows how she feels and he can move on.
Yeah.
This way, you're letting him think that he's like got a chance and that he's making progress and just hoping that he's so vain and such a jerk that just because you look different than he thought you looked, that he's going to like run away from you.
I think I understand what you're saying, but I think what she's thinking is,
she doesn't want to hurt him.
She doesn't want to hurt him, but there's a thing where if you, even if you do it gently, even if you do it nicely, if you're the person who shuts someone down, who rejects someone, that rejection still, even if it's, you know, a nice rejection, even if it's, you know, done amicably, it still leaves, you know, a bit of resentment.
Sure.
A bit of resentment. Or it leaves, you know, you kind of feel a little less for a bit because you were rejected, and she doesn't want that to happen. So she feels like if she allows him to be the person who decides, oh, actually I don't like her, like for him to be the one to take control of the situation and decide for himself that he's not into it, he's not going to have those feelings, and she's not going to feel bad because it's what she wanted all along,
right?
Anyway.
But I feel like
it's a more convoluted plan than it needs to be, really.
There are ways to have him not be attracted to her that don't include like hoping that he's so like vain that he,
well,
or like hoping that appearance is what
this is
him
the
off.
Thing though, right?
Maybe he likes her for like this her interests in magazines.
I know you say vain, but I don't know that I don't know if she knew the effect that revulsion has. I mean, the whole point is to create a revulsion, a sense of revulsion, but
so what you're
whether
saying,
it's personality wise or whether it's
maybe,
visually,
maybe revulsion works on the person experiencing it, like,
yeah, like when you smell it and it's like, oh my god, like this person is obnoxious. Like, everything that person says annoys you. Like, it could have been something like that rather than, I mean, for the sake of TV and it being a kid show, it has to be a visual representation. But I think, you know, to her, it could have been just, he's just repulsed by you. So whatever gets that to happen and for him to take control of the situation. See, I'm being maybe a little too analytical, but I think in terms of what Zelda would want, I feel like in terms of her character, she just wouldn't want him to feel like he was rejected.
I don't know. I felt bad for Dirk, but that's me.
Because he acts like he knows her super well. He even says that he knows her well. Or he knows her better than anybody or something. I'm like, dude, you get her mail. You don't read her mail.
He's a playboy.
You barely have conversations with her. You just see her. Like, stop acting like you fucking know her. Like, that's legit the shit that stalkers do, where they're like, oh, we belong together. I know
somebody,
you better
somebody
than
watched an awful lot of Stalker.
I did.
Season
I really.
One.
I was kind of sad it got canceled. I kind of liked it, especially for
sure, nobody
personally for
now.
CBS.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the better shows on CBS.
Anyway, Chris, that's where the episode ends.
One of the more innovative shows on CBS, because they're all pretty bland.
Talk about innovative, Chris. Of course, you know how we rank episodes of Sabrina Teenage Witch on this podcast.
Super innovative.
Our TGIF scale, our innovative, this good, I feel scale, 1 to 5 scale. Each show, each level on that scale has a corresponding TV show.
Which level?
Perfect. Yeah. Then, if you were to rank this episode on that scale, and you do, where does this fall for you?
I think it's a Family Matters.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's a low Family Matters.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a 4.
Four out of 5.
Who, don't
for you adults, you Harveys out there,
you Dirks out there.
You sweet people.
Please stalk us.
Sweet stalkers. anyway, I think, please don't stalk us. Are you saying?
Like, you know, comment nice things on social media. Not like, you know, sit outside the house. And
anyway, it has some fun uses of magic. It has some.
But if you bring steaks.
Shut up.
It's okay.
Just leave the steaks and leave. Anyway, some fun uses of magic. Some interesting interplay between Sabrina and Salem. A lot of fun to watch. And, I mean, it's a fine, entertaining episode that really doesn't overstay its welcome and has some decent jokes. It's a well Family Matters. More important, Chris, main event here on Sabrina's Witch Trials.
This one's easy.
Back of the Winning Closet Award, we will see our episodic award for each installment's biggest fashion flop. Chris, who gets your Back of the Winning Closet Award this week?
Personally, it's super easy, and I didn't even really pay close attention to what the person was wearing. I just saw it and was like, yep.
Shoot.
The woman from the Full Moon Beauty Supply.
Ah,
her outfit, the whole package. You got that beehive with the weird Brady thing and like just all the colors. Like it's just like the color wheel fucking spewed all over her.
Very true. It's like Bob Gordon saw himself in the mirror and spewed all over.
It's just everything.
Anyway, fair choice, not my choice, however. I am picking Harvey's lunchtime disaster, that is that striped burnt sienna short sleeve shirt. I'll show it to you afterwards, and you will be amazed at how unattractive a shirt it is.
I also, I'm looking at it right now.
It's pretty bad.
It's like stripey.
Yeah.
When the colors fade into each other. I honestly don't think it's that bad. I think it's very of the time.
I really don't like it.
Do you know what I need to give a shout out to? Is in the very, very beginning of the episode, Hilda's wearing a pea green dress over a white turtleneck, which would have been okay. I mean, it was pea green, but it wasn't the worst pea green I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But fucking matching trench coat in her hand that she was going to put on.
She bought the outfit
just
on the phone, probably.
Say no to pea green.
Everybody has a green coat. Sabrina
not like
green,
that.
Sabrina has a green coat like that.
That green.
Anyway,
that green.
That's the episode. Chris, thank you for being here.
You're
always
welcome.
Fun to talk teenage witches with you. I will remind the listeners that you can read what Chris writes about beauty, romance novels, just what's going on in her life, and so much more over at chrisconkers.com. You can follow her on Instagram and on Twitter at chrisconkers. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Sabrina Podcast, on Facebook, facebook.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials, and Instagram, instagram.com/Sabrina's Witch Trials. You can listen to us where you are right now, because that seems to be how
working
you're doing
for
it.
You.
But on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the Google Play Podcast section, your favorite podcatcher of choice, or anywhere that better podcasts are curated. Next episode will be episode number 20, one of my personal favorites from season 1, honestly, because we get to see the old latchkey dad himself. We're going to be talking about Meeting Dad's Girlfriend, which has 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb. So it is a pretty good episode. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. But until next time, I want to say thank you to everyone for listening, and we will see you in the other realm.
Enough about people. Who's the best cat?